Hey there, Margie Bryce here, bringing you the Crabby Pastor podcast. And I don't think you're going to be too surprised to know that it's too easy today to become the Crabby Pastor. Our time together will give you food for thought to help you be the ministry leader fully surrendered to God's purposes and living into whatever it takes to get you there and keep you there. So we're talking about sustainability in ministry. So how do the pieces of your life fit together? Do they fit together well and things are humming along just fine? Or are there some pieces that are tight or absent or just not fitting the bill? This is your invitation to join me in my glass workshop for a video series where I am going to do a stained glass project while I talk to you about sustainability and building sustainability into your heart and into your life. So I am going to be doing my art, which is a form of self-care, and I'm going to invite you into that space with me, and I'm going to chat about self-care, and I'm going to show you how I create. And there's a nifty analogy. Stained glass seems to be a very good metaphor for what I want to talk about. So I'd love for you to join me. To do that, to opt in, I'll need you to email me at crabbypastor@gmail.com. That's crabbypastor@gmail.com. So you won't want to miss this. You definitely won't want to miss this. So make a plan to join me in the glass workshop. It's Margie Bryce with the Crabby Pastor podcast, and we are going to be talking. I'm just diving right into this, you know, just like you dive into a big plate of spaghetti. We're diving into food today. Food. I have to confess, if there's ever a famine in the land, I will indeed be the last person standing. This very slow metabolism that I have been gifted with, yeah, it's kind of a pain. But the other way I could self-describe then is that I used to own a horse, and, well, actually more than one. And one of them was, no matter how much hay you threw in there, he would still, his ribs would still be showing. And I'm like, what is going on? So he had a different kind of metabolism than the other horse, where you just throw a little bit of hay into the pen and she would stay nice and fat. So I would be more like horse number two, and I would just hang on to whatever weight, just pokey, slow metabolism. So I've done various things over the years. I've done a lot of things, you know. Years ago, I did Atkins, you know, and there's now they reframe that as keto. And I get it, actually, you know, you're controlling your carbs and all of that kind of thing. And, you know, I think it worked for me for a time. Actually, this might be back in the 80s or something, 80s, 90s. And it did work, but I'm sorry, people. No bread ever is, or hardly, is just not sustainable for me. And that's where I went in many instances, was what could I do for the long term, the long haul, and that's where I have to hang out. So, and I have to do something, because I know that if you let me run around in the yard wherever I want to go, in the yard of food, that is, wherever I want to go, you let me just run, I know where that takes me. And it takes me to the land of overweight, too much. So I have to be doing something, and trust me, I kind of loathe that, actually, that I really have to be this attentive to what I feed my face. I'm thinking this is going to drop like right before a holiday Sunday, so yay, that's probably going to make your day. But what I have done, you know, because I have done the counting macros, you know, where you divide how much protein you're eating, how much carbs, how much fat, all of that. I've done that. For some reason, that just doesn't work for me. And I know it works for a lot of people. But I have, in fact, I probably should confess this along the way too, because I'm really not meaning to make any kind of sales pitch at all. Trust me, I don't like doing that kind of thing at all. But I am a former Weight Watcher leader. And, you know, you can sit in Weight Watchers and people will always say, well, okay, this is my third time or fifth time or 25th time rejoining. Why is that? Because we are all foodies in there, not foodies as in the eclectic folk who taste tantalizing meals and they know what they're talking about and what different sensations there are and how their palates are developing in regards to food. Not that kind of foodie. So it would be the kind of foodie where, you know, all right, when do you, you know, I would say that I eat when I'm bored, I eat when I'm anxious, I eat when, well, just, I mean, those two alone, when are you not one of those? When are you not bored? When are you not anxious, you know? So, you know, kind of identifying what your triggers are. And Weight Watchers does help you do that. Although they did, I remember the week that they said, you know, what's your trigger food or what's the food that you just have to have? Or, and I thought, I don't know, I don't have one. And it finally came, I finally figured it out like months later that it is chocolate. I have to have some form of chocolate. So I have to devise ways to make that happen where I'm not, you know, going to down like a whole box of ho-hos or something like that. So, yeah, all right. So what I felt like Weight Watchers did for me was give me a yard to run around in, and I'm safe as long as I'm in that yard. And there's a lot of flexibility with it, and you can't eat bread in that. I mean, of late, I have gone to sourdough only. I am blessed to have a niece that not only does she raise organic vegetables, which all year round in a hoop house, and she's very ambitious, but she's taken to sourdough bread, which is only a couple of ingredients actually, and she'll do organic flour and whatever. So I'm kind of just for the sake of whatever, that's my bread resource at the moment, because, you know, I can't go the rest of my life without bread. I am not going to go the rest of my life without cake either. That just is not realistic and it's not long-term sustainable, you know. And at the end of the day, you have to find something that works for you. And that can be annoying because I think I've spent a lot of years plumbing the depths of that, what would work for me. And I kind of have learned a good bit along the way, although life gets in the way, doesn't it? We were in a small group meeting and I did pretty good with the meal. I mean, I knew that they may or may not be cooking according to what I would prefer to eat. And I had made allowances for that. But then they stuck this, I guess it was called a tuxedo cake, you know, and they stuck a piece in front of me and it wasn't a huge piece. And I, you know, I don't make a big deal with them about what my food things are because there's a lot of people with food things today. And it just, it's, you know, I didn't want to be the added food thing. So I, you know, and that day I just said, man, I'm eating this cake. And it was, if I had taken two bites and went, this is not a worthwhile cheat, I can stop because I just don't want to waste my little points like that. But this was definitely a worthwhile cheat. So I went home and I looked it up And oh my goodness, I thought I was going to stroke out because it was 24 points. Now, keep in mind that my daily allotment of points is 23. So on the Weight Watchers gig here, which I have returned to, this is at least third time I've joined, I think. I just went back to what I knew had worked for me previously. And it was cheap. I got a good deal. Those are two kind of non-negotiables for me. $10 a month, I can do this, and I can do it on my own. I know how to do this. But 23 points a day. Now, you get a daily amount, but then you have this thing called your weeklies. And sometimes your weeklies increase depending on how much exercise you do. And I do a decent amount of that. And, but yeah, I just about stroked out. But you know, that week is a week that I lost. And I was scratching my head about that. But because I was on a 3-week plateau, you know, and nothing ticks me off more than to be working hard at something and not getting any results. That is just beyond annoying to me. Absolutely beyond annoying. So, all right. So I ate the piece of cake and said, well, that's just too bad. I mean, I think I had enough in my weekly bank to cover it, but it was shocking nonetheless. Anyhow, so I ate the cake. But along the way here, I have picked up a couple things that I wanted to pass along to you as a maybe a fellow sufferer. I've seen people in the Facebook group say, oh yeah, you know, food is a thing for me. Number one is you do have to find what works and what you can be at peace with. I mean, maybe it's keto. I don't know, but that just wasn't going to do it for me. And I've had some friends doing various things. I think one friend was doing a process and program through Mayo Clinic, and she said it wasn't expensive. She was eating a ridiculous amount of vegetables and leeks and all kind of weird stuff and doing all these new menus and brand new recipes. And I just thought, I know I will not do that. I know I just will not do that. So knowing that about myself kind of brought me back to what I knew had worked for me in the past. And I thought, I just have to dig down and do it. And I got to tell you about that, digging down and just doing it. If there is any level of stress or trauma going on in your life, I think it is very difficult to dig down and do it. I have been trying to dig down and do it for the past couple of years, and I just could not get myself going with it. I just could not. So finally, some of the stress level has, you know, abated, it's gone down, and then I'm like, okay, I think I'm in a good place here. I need to get back at it. However, I have to add that as some major sources of stress start to increase, because I noticed this, my 3-week plateau, I think, was connected to this, because at the exact same time, there were a couple things that could have caused a little stress. One was just some general relational stress with people I know. And the other was I finally decided to pick up some free weights and do a thing at home. And I had a friend whose husband is a no-neck guy, you know, weight professional, weightlifter person, help put together. I said, just put something together for me, will you? That's just like 2 times a week. I will do 2 times a week. That's, you know, that's what I know that I will like really do. So, but when you start something new like this and your body's going, wait, it does cause a level of stress, and you have to give your body time to adjust to that. Okay, fine. We did that. And then the stress, the relational stress kind of abated. And then all of a sudden the weight started coming back off. I, you know, what can you say? But as you are tracking that kind of thing, as you're tracking your weight, you know, as you're getting on the dreaded scale, and some people say you need to get on every day so that you can learn to understand and live with the daily fluctuations of the weight. I can't do that. I don't need to get on the scale first thing in the morning and then have a 2-pound increase because I had Mrs. Grass soup with extra noodles and there's an outrageous amount of sodium in there. But still, after you've done something like that and you get on the scale and suddenly you're up 2 or 3 pounds, even though you know it's because you ate sodium, you start the day off cheesed. Who needs that? I don't. So when I'm going to get on the scale, I know that I haven't ate out for a couple of days and I haven't, I don't know. There was one gal on Weight Watchers that always, the night before weigh-in, she would eat a bunch of asparagus because it was a diuretic. I thought, I don't know. I don't think I would have pulled that off. So I just didn't bother with it. But she would always do that. So maybe getting on once or twice a week. Again, you've got to figure out what's going to work for you. If you can become friends with your scale because you get on every day and you see the couple pounds of fluctuation and you're okay with it and you're not starting the day off cheesed off because of it, then by all means do it. But you need to at least measure and be aware. And I think it's James Clear that says, he's the author of Atomic Habits. He says, you measure. You care about what you measure. Or you measure what you care about. One of the two of them. Either way, the net result is you got to become friends with getting on the scale at some point, whether it's weekly or every day. I would not do every day, but it's up to you. Go for it. The same thing goes with your movement. You know, that's kind of the code word for exercise, but movement, how much movement you're doing. And I like my Apple Watch for that, which is indeed synced to the Weight Watcher app. So we know how that all is going. So if I'm on the indoor bike, because it's Michigan, and I do not get outside on the bike until it's 47 degrees at the least. And I know this because I got on the bike when it was 46 degrees, and I said, never again, this is too cold. So 47 degrees is my minimum, which we might, I don't know. Sometimes we're lucky. Right now, we're kind of lucky out there. But I did get on the indoor bike, and, you know, it self-calculates, and I'm good with that. But again, I'm measuring something because I want to be able to have a piece of tuxedo cake, and it's not like the end of the world. So I am firmly entrenched in tracking what I eat, which when I'm off and not doing it, it just seems overwhelming. Just the idea of writing down everything I eat. Well, I don't write it down. I track it in the app, which, you know, they have a nice little app going. I will say that for them. But, you know, my Fitness Pal is also a good gig too, if you can kind of get that rolling. So I will track and keep track of what I am putting in my face here. Here's the thing. I can easily undereat. And I know that's weird. I just got into a discussion on some Facebook group that I said, you cannot undereat because, and this is the very annoying fact of weight loss, you can't undereat, you can't overeat. So you have to kind of learn your upper boundaries and your lower boundaries, which is why I like Weight Watchers, because then I have this little area that I know I can run in and I'm happy with that. So you can't undereat, you can't overeat. You actually can undereat and just start gaining weight because your body's like, what? Is there starvation in the land? Is there a famine here? Is there what? Food shortages? What's going on? So eating less is not gonna be helpful. And I can very easily eat less and get by in life. So one other quick thing that I will give you is that, and it's easy to do this, which is eat the same foods all the time in the same quantities. And as I said, it's just quick, convenient. Well, I ate this yesterday, so I could get by with it again today. You know, your body does better when you vary the pace, because then your metabolism's like, what is going on? Okay, she ate, let's say, for example here, that it's 23 points a day, or if you want to say calories, I don't know, we'll say 1,450 calories is your daily intake. And, you know, you could probably multiply that times 7-ish and get an idea of for the week. But maybe one day you want to eat 100% of your allotment, the next day 85%, the next day 110%, the next day, you see what I'm saying? Have a varied intake amount, and that will kind of help your metabolism going. And keep in mind, you're getting this straight from the horse's mouth here, the easy keeper's mouth, that varying things up will indeed net you that nudge in your metabolism. And I think the most important thing out of everything that I've said here, you know, as someone who has, seems very insufficient, very insufficient to what I've done since I was in my 30s. And I said to myself, I do not want to trot down the family path of the diabetes if I can help it, because there was a lot of that type 2. And that basically is where, you know, where you just pooped out your pancreas and it just can't go no more. I did not want to go down there, that route, because it was heavy. It still is heavy in the family. So I've struggled with this for a long time, or worked on it. I've worked on it and then I've gone, oh, nuts to this. I'm not working on this anymore because this is just too fatiguing. It's just too annoying, too whatever. But then, you know, the older you get and you really start looking at your overall health and thinking differently about these things. So at the end of the day, you have to find something that is doable for you. Something that you know, I will do that. Like my girlfriend she said she dropped like 15 pounds on this Mayo Clinic thing where she's making leeks and she's ate more vegetables in her life, which is always a good thing, eating more vegetables. That's always an area that I could stand to improve on. But I just knew I was not going to spend that kind of time with the new recipes, and I just knew it. You know, it's about really being honest with yourself. And I know I can't do keto because I just, at some point, I'm just going to fall off of that. And so at some point, somebody's going to stick a tuxedo cake in front of me. And I, you know, if you get together with your small group 2 times a month, let's say, and there's food involved, because we'll do once a month, we'll do food. And then the other time is a Zoom. But I'm thinking if once a month, if somebody sticks a small piece of pie in front of me or a 24-point tuxedo cake, you know, I need to be able to eat it and just not go to the guilt farm about it and have it be okay, because I've attended to my eating and attended to food and properly fueling my body so it can do what it needs to do. And I've done that the majority of the month, so it's just not criminal. So that's what I want to leave you with, is find something that you know, okay, I could do that. This is not in any way, shape, or form a campaign for Weight Watchers. It works for me, but there's other stuff out there. I've seen friends with Good Luck with Noom. Any of those things kind of try to steer you towards adopting more healthy eating, and that really is the bottom line of it. And steering us away from a lot of the processed foods is always, always a good idea. You know, shop the perimeter of the store, as they say, and not doing a lot of processed stuff. And that doesn't mean you never can. Because once you get to the place where it's, I am never going to have a piece of bread, that, my brain goes, does not compute. So you need to find something that does compute for you and then walk in that way. Will you be perfect all the time? No. Will somebody stick a tuxedo cake in front of you and you will woof that puppy down? Yes. But it's about being dedicated to keeping on working on it. And that's it, working on it. Slowly but surely you can turn the tide. And I'll be right there with you, because I get a feeling I'm never, ever going to stop working on this side of the dirt anyway. So that's my food diatribe for you. And I hope it's encouraged you maybe to rethink or something in regards to your food intake. Are you wondering whether your fatigue, your lack of motivation, your lack of interest is burnout, maybe? I just wanted to let you know that I have a resource on the website, margiebryce.com. That's B-R-Y-C-E, margiebryce.com. And it is a burnout questionnaire, free for you to download and kind of self-assess and get a sense of where you're at. And there are questions that not only ask about what you're going through, but maybe how often you're experiencing it. And that's kind of a key to where you might be, because you have to know where you are in order to chart a course forward. And most pastors and ministry leaders who experience burnout rarely know that that's where they're at until they're well into it. And if you're unsure about that little statistic, so far, everybody that I've interviewed on this podcast who has experienced burnout, when I ask that kind of question, they're like, yeah, I didn't know that's where I was at. So, again, go to margiebryce.com. It's on the homepage of the website, and you can get your burnout questionnaire and kind of see where you're at. Hey, friends. The Krabby Pastor podcast is sponsored by Bryce Art Glass, and you can find that on Facebook. I make stained glass. That's part of my self-care. And also by Bryce Coaching, where I coach ministry leaders and business leaders. And so the funds that I generate from coaching and from making stained glass is what is supporting this podcast. And I will have opportunities for you to be a part of sponsoring me. And as always, you can do the buy me a cup of coffee thing in the show notes. But I will have some other ways that you can be a part of getting the word out about the importance of healthy self-care for ministry leaders. Hey, thanks for listening. It is my deep desire and passion to champion issues of sustainability in ministry and for your life. So I'm here to help. I stepped back from pastoral ministry, and I feel called to help ministry leaders create and cultivate sustainability in their lives so that they can go the distance with God and whatever plans that God has for you. I would love to help. I would consider it an honor. And in all things, make sure you connect to these sustainability practices, you know, so that you don't become the Krabby Pastor.